Confident Healer. I'm your host, Sharmila Molly, and in this podcast, we have inspirational, uplifting, and soulful conversations about the ins and outs of having confidence as a healer and as a healer in business. Hey, and welcome back to The Confident Healer. I'm your host, Sharmila Molly, and today I have an old neighbor and a friend of mine on The Confident Healer podcast. She is a gorgeous soul, as you can see. You can't really see, but in her photo, you'll see. She has been a master of psychic tarot card readings for over 25 years, supporting her clients to create vivid, fulfilling lives. She has had the wonderful joys of predicting babies, finding a missing person, and helping a client avoid a cancer diagnosis. She sees her readings as a dialogue between you and the cards and serves as a mediator for this magical conversation. Though tarot is an ancient tool, she is a modern reader, down to earth, honest, direct, and loving. She's a woman of color who has seen a lot in this lifetime, and as a result, she believes that everything good is possible. She believes your vision for yourself is fully attainable and will walk with you laughing and crying until you become the person you know yourself to be. So please help me welcome with a big warm hug, Elsie Collins.
Yay. Oh my gosh, thank you. I'm going to have you like, I don't know. Can we record that and put it on my website? That was the best.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. So I was asking you before, tarot or tarot? I never know.
Yeah. You know, I always say tarot, but most people seem to say tarot. So I don't know. I should know because I'm such a history nerd. I should know that. But yeah, I usually say tarot cards.
Okay. Anyway, so
Americans tend to put that emphasis on the second syllable. And so I always assume that's wrong if it's what Americans do.
I know, because I hear both and I'm like, I don't know which one it is. It's so funny that it doesn't surprise me because you're a Pisces, I'm a Pisces. And I know you are you a Reiki master too?
Yeah.
A Reiki master. I remember you telling me all that. And so I was really shocked when you were like, oh, did you know I do tarot readings or tarot readings? And I was like, what? So I'm so glad that you're here. So how has this, how's the past, I don't know, year and a half, 2 years been for you during this strange time we're living in?
It's not a small question.
Ludicrous.
Yeah, it's been, you know, it's been interesting and it's been fine on some levels. I mean, I'm such an introvert. I have been living online to some extent for many, many years. I've always been an early adopter of technology. So, I have relationships, dear, dear friends who I've never met, you know, so I'm used to the remote lifestyle. So that didn't freak me out too bad. It's a time for reflection and listening. I mean, the thing I think that's been the hardest is just to watch humanity struggle and to watch humanity struggle with themselves, just being okay with time spent alone, being okay with listening to other people's perspectives. You know, it seems to be getting worse. You know, we're kind of into this funnel of this is how life has to be, and to see people struggle with losing their comforts, you know, and then things that I think are so funny. I saw somebody posting like, I'm learning how to give myself a pedicure. And I was like, I knew that when I was 9. Like, how can people not function? So I think there are these, you know, I think there are these like kind of illuminating things. So watching, you know, I'm an observer of humanity. So watching that, I think, has been the most interesting part for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that sums it up too. It's been like that for me too. It's been good. I'm not an introvert. So I've still been, you know, visiting with friends and traveling a little bit here and there around the country and seeing a lot of my family, which they live on the East Coast. But anyway, so tarot. I'm going to have to figure out.
Pick one.
I'll just stick with what you said, tarot. So tarot card reading. So you've been doing it for 25 years. I had no idea. You put up a website. So what inspired putting up a website and how did, well, let me first go back to how did you get into it?
Yeah, I bought my first tarot card deck. I'll never forget it. Like, so I've been reading professionally for 25 years. I got my deck, like, I guess, let me count. 7 years before that, I guess. So it was actually senior year of high school. We just finished exams and we all walked to Georgetown. I grew up in Washington, D.C., and I went to school on Wisconsin Avenue, which is this long avenue that runs from like the Potomac River all the way into like Maryland, all through Washington, D.C. So we could walk, you know, on this avenue to this like little shopping neighborhood called Georgetown. And so we went there for ice cream and just to hang out. And we got my friends and I, like five of us, and we got palm readings. And I don't know whose idea it was. We went to a palm reader and she was just like in her apartment with her baby. And she sat and she read our palms. And, you know, I was in a unique, strange relationship with two of the people in that situation. So I was really tuned into what they were getting, you know, what their reading was. And it was just this beautiful, different world I had never been in, very magical, but also really normal. Like she was just a woman with like her baby in the cradle next to her. You know, there wasn't, you know, candles and curtains or anything.
Wearing a band, what do you call the,
Yeah, she didn't have
a scarf
have on
over
any.
The head and with incense and crystal ball.
Yeah, she had no babushka on her head or anything like that. She was just, and it was very beige too. Like, you know, you see these tarot card readers in the movies and they're always turning over the death card, you know, and all these major arcana that are like just ridiculous. And she's just like in this very beige, like light filled room. It was just so normal. And so after that, and I got very interested in what she was like picking up, because, you know, you can kind of read palms based on the lines and all that, or you can just hold someone's palm and really feel them and talk to them. And she kind of did a combination of both. So then we wandered around Georgetown and we went into this crystal shop that was downstairs below another shop. I don't know why we went there. It was like, you know, you just get these episodic memories. And I bought my first tarot card deck, which I still have somewhere in storage. It was a Rider-Waite deck, which I've just recently come back to using. I just went back to it, like kind of like, you know, the classic like movie tarot card deck. And that was it. It was just that. And I was thinking about this interview we're doing and how, just listening to some of your other episodes and how I really think the modality chooses the healer, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was almost like they must have just called to me, like, here, we're waiting for you at this store. Come get us.
And so, yeah, exactly. And so how did that jump from, you know, learning how to read them? I mean, you got it so young. So how did you, I mean, and at that point, you know, you couldn't go online, you know.
Thank goodness.
You know, you had to like get a book. And did you take like a class? Like, how did that come about? Like learning how to read the cards?
Yeah, I did. I got a book with it. There's this really, with this particular deck, which is the Rider-Waite deck, which is drawn by Pamela Smith. So it has this wonderful feminine energy as well. There's a book that comes with it, but it's pretty opaque. Like it's pretty, you know, this card, it's just very sterile and stiff sounding. And I didn't. Like I used that book and I used there's this horrible Celtic cross layout you can do. Like you can tell, like I've basically like chucked a lot of that out the window, other people's interpretation, and went with what the cards teach me. So I let the cards teach me through doing readings for myself and my friends, going by instinct, going by the words I heard the cards talk to me, and then seeing what happens, right? So you learn, okay, I pulled this, you know, card, Four of Wands, that looks like a relationship card. Well, does that person end up in a relationship? Okay, well, then we know. Like, so you start to kind of see how things play out. And I really spent a lot of that time with myself. And then what happened is after college, I went to a very nice, very fancy college. I got a very fancy education. I had a double major in very practical topics, American history and politics. And by the end of that, I was just burnt out. So I ran away to a farm in Maine. And after the farm in Maine, I came back to the little town where I had gone to college. And there was a New Age bookstore and that I always hung out in and looked at, you know, all the crystals and the decks and the herbs. And I applied for a job.
Oh,
so
wow.
So, yeah. So I went from like Ivy League graduate to like retail New Age store girl. Right. And I remember the woman being like, you're really overqualified. And I was like, this is where I want to work. In fact, that wasn't actually true. I actually came back and got a job as a house painter. And then I got the job at the New Age bookstore. But that's a leap. So then I was around the cards all the time and I was around all the readers. We had six different readers. And I learned from them. I watched them. There was one reader who was just amazing. Her name was Pam. And she taught me probably the most important thing that I know about reading. She says, you know, my readings are really basically psychic readings. I just use the cards as a window to receive the information. And she also pointed me to one book she really, really liked. And that's when I kind of started my study.
Mm. And so what I'm getting this undercurrent here, and it just seems like, you know, for you to make that jump to graduating from college and like, okay, I'm going to work in this, you know, that takes a certain amount of courage and confidence. So I'm just, you know, it just seems like that confidence was already developed and instilled and like, okay, this is just something I'm going into this. Like whatever you put your mind to, you're just, this is what I'm doing. That's what it sounds like to me.
I think I'm kind of like that. Yes. But I also feel like I never questioned the tarot cards.
Wow.
I never. they chose me. So they were going to kind of call the shots, really. And they're so beautiful. It's like reading your favorite book over and over and over again, you know, and you start to say, oh, I love it when this thing happens, or oh, now the character, but you always find something new. And so they just enthralled me and kept me really engaged, you know. And I think also I grew up in a household full of a lot of like secrets. So, well, there's two things about the household I grew up in. One is I grew up in a household with a lot of secrets. So I had to develop like a pretty strong spidey sense pretty quick. Like I had to learn how to sniff out what was really going on. So that has helped me as a reader. And also I grew up in a house where, even though my parents are very practical, my dad used to try to like get me to move things with my mind. Like he would set up like a matchbook. You know how matchbooks are kind of folded if you set it on their side? And right. He would put a match on top of that, like very lightweight. He'd be like, okay, now see if you can move this with your mind. With my dad is an engineer, so that's really strange. And then my mother, I grew up with a very psychic mother who saw ghosts constantly. And so talking to dead people was also just very normal. So... Okay. Like my favorite story about my mom is, you know, and she'd woke up one day and she's like, okay, Aunt Carrie's ghost came to me and we've got to drive to West Virginia and get her ashes and bury them in this forest. And we're like, okay. And we all get in the car and that's what we do. Like, that's our Saturday. And I was young. I was little, probably. I couldn't have been more than 8 or 9.
Oh my. Wow.
Yeah. And so she was all my grandfather's ghost. There's always somebody's ghost talking to my mother. So none of that was there for strange to me. So getting used to, you know, an ancient tool talking to me and dead people talking to me, you know, I just had to finally, you know, it was like, oh, I had to kind of realize, oh, that's who I've been talking to, you know, like that's so, but it was all very, I was already acclimated to it, I suppose.
Well, that's so, it's so interesting because even when, because, you know, I, as you know, we live in the same town and we know a lot of mothers and who are, you know, very open and spiritual. And then their kids go left, they go right. excuse me, you know, they do the opposite. Cause I've talked to people, oh yeah, you know, my parents were this and I, you know, and they're very like straight and they just kind of ignore all that, you know, esoteric stuff that they grew up with and just, you
yeah,
know,
so, the kids of hippies are always like conservatives.
Right.
But see, the thing with me is my parents were very like staunchly like, well, we called ourselves middle class, but it's, you know, everything's so relative. I went to school with so many rich kids, it made us look poor, and we were really poor at science and, you know, early on in our lives. So it's hard to know, but we didn't have, put it this way, we lived in a row house. We did not have a lot of money. We lived in one of the most dangerous neighborhoods in Washington, D.C. And so there was a real like upwardly mobile value. You know, I was told very early on I was going to go to the hardest college to get into. I was expected to be the smartest person in every room. I was expected to overachieve and do everything. So there was very mainstream on the surface.
And right.
Very image conscious. Do we look like the next generation of successful, you know, people, particularly successful Black people, and biracial, half Black and half white. So the weird stuff was just kind of in the corner. So there was no reason to resist it. You know, what I did resist was like, no, I'm not going to be your little mainstream tool. I'm going to be this other thing. So I did kind of still rebel. But yeah, the weird stuff was just in, it was just like the food we ate, the water we breathed. It was just like, yeah, mom, here's ghosts. Like, I never really, and I'm so grateful, you know, when I look at like how much people struggle with mortality and death and stuff, that was never a thing in my family. Like my aunt constantly was like, when I die, you know, and we could talk about that. And I gave her a gift that was an inside joke between us. And I was like, Aunt Sarah, when you die, I want this back, which people think is really, really weird. But she loved it. She laughed. And on her deathbed, she's like, make sure she gets that thing, you know. So I feel grateful. That was, of all the trauma and dysfunction in my really, really screwed up family, this weird, esoteric, eccentric part of us was a gift. Wow.
Wow. That's amazing to hear. Yeah, that's really, really amazing because I just want to let, you know, other listeners know who are, you know, on this path and just kind of reiterating like how you just going back to the trust, like you just trusted the cards, you know, like it took me a long time to like just trust what I was getting when I'm, you know, doing energy work and, you know, so it like for some people, it's a muscle to build. And and so it sounds like you're saying that muscle was built because your mom spoke to, you know, she had this other side to her. She had this medium side to her, you know, mediumship side to her. And you grew up with heightened awareness because you had to.
Yes. And also, I think there's two things. One is that it was never called anything. Right. So I think when it's called channeling or mediumship in the moment, that's when it starts to sound weird. But it was never identified. It was just, you know, like my dad trying to get me to do psychometry was just like what we did on in the evening. It wasn't like, you know, so there's that. And then there's also, you know, my family, the dysfunctional part of my family. It like simultaneously got me to doubt everything about myself. Like I'm still at this moment trying to rebuild a sense of self. It's something I've been working on a lot right now. It's like, how do I create a continuity of self versus changing with every person so I keep them happy, which I'm sure we all can relate to.
Well, especially being Pisces.
Right. Especially being a Pisces because we have, and that's that other built-in healer part. So there's that. And then I was the youngest in my family too. So, and I had strong intuition. So I had this sense, I always really kind of knew what was going on, but people always told me I didn't know anything. And so once I started to see that I was right when things would happen, then I was like, wait, I might know some shit, you know, like I might actually have more the sense than I'm getting credit for. So I think I hadn't really thought of it this way until just talking to you, but I think there was a part of that too that built a sense of inner confidence because when everybody tells you you're wrong, and then you find out you're right, you know, it changes something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but just to relay my own, to counter that, like, yeah, I would get confirmations from, you know, working on someone, and they would validate it. They're like, oh yeah, this happened and that happened. And, but, you know, and then I just thought, well, maybe that's just a, you know, I kept doubt that doubt was always there because I never felt a sense of worth, you know? So it, it took a long, you know, I mean, I just did a, that was my first episode, just it, like doing the podcast gave me all that, you know, it was a muscle that I built, like having self-worth. And I mean, and not just like it fluctuating, you know, like having it above the poverty line, like it's normal, you know, like, I know, right? It's like, and feeling confident about doing this and, you know, strengthening my throat chakra and, and, you know, being able to use my voice. And so that I, you know, so it's just fascinating to me. And that's why I just love, thank you for so much for sharing all that, because it's just, I mean, it was so simple. Yeah. And I just trusted the cards. It's like, oh, okay.
Like, well, yeah. I mean, that's a, that's like the pure thing with all of these modalities that come to us. The same with Reiki, you know, and you have a much deeper relationship with Reiki than I do. But when I was training, it was definitely like, get to know the energy, the entity really that is Reiki, and then trust it. You're in a dialogue with it. That's why I say in my readings that it's a dialogue between me, you, and the cards, because we're all, they're a living being, you know?
I just, it's just, but it's just fascinating that, you know, after you had all this intuitive knowing, everybody's just like, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, you're a little kid, you're young. What do you know? And then you find out later, and that kind of gives you like, oh yeah, okay. I do know what I'm talking about. I can do this. I can, and as you, you, I guess, you know, as you played with the cards, you know, the more practice you get doing something, the more experienced and the more courage and confidence, and, you know, it, it builds all that. But I'm just still struck by it. It's still ringing in my head like a gong, you know, like, yeah, I just trusted the cards. It's just fascinating how everyone's journey is similar. Right. But yet we all have our own paths, and there's something like for you that it connected, that your intuition was right, you know?
Yeah.
And for me, it was just like, eh, nah, that's a fluke. You know, it's like kind of opposite. Whereas, you know, I mean, I didn't get into doing this professionally until I was like in my, early 17 years ago. Right.
And then we saw, have to stop counting at some
point. Yeah, I know. Oh. I was like, oh, I don't know. But, and, but I, so it's just, yeah, it's just really, it's just
what you said. So it's so, I mean, we all have that doubt, but there's also this externalizing, like if I can trust the cards, then I'm out of the equation. You know, I don't, doubting myself is not really an issue. And that's something I use in my readings a lot, because as you know, when you do this work, people, one, well, there's a, several things. One, people will doubt you. Like I'll tell people, I'm a tarot card reader. And they're like, oh, wow, do you really believe in that stuff? And I'm like, no, I lie to people for a living.
Right,
like, what do you mean? Do I believe in it? And then the other thing is like, you know, I've had to tell people, and I'm a really honest, direct reader. So like, I have a hard time holding anything back. Like I have to kind of learn how to filter, because it just comes out. And if it's coming out of my mouth, I'm assuming it's right. If I say, but this is just my opinion, then it's my opinion. But anything else coming out is like coming out for you.
Right.
And, you know, and if, so I had this one woman that when I started reading at this store in Portland, this one woman came to me for a reading. She worked at the store, so I saw her every day. And she came to me for a reading, and I told her that she was madly in love with this relationship. And I was like, this is, gonna end in 4 years. Like, it's not the one, you know?
That's hard to hear. So, yeah, yeah.
She did not like that whatsoever. She was mad at me for 4 years. And then one day I came to work and she was like, "We broke up. It was exactly like you said." And I was like, okay. You know, so yeah. So I had to learn, like, you know, I can't wait 4 years to wonder if I'm right. I have to just be sure in that moment that, like, I'm right. And that was also, it's so important, that confidence, because, you know, I don't want to hold something back that might save someone's life. You know, like when I said to that one woman, like, something's going on in this part of your body, like, you got to go to the doctor. If I had doubted that, she might have ended up with cancer. But instead, right, she was found out she had precancerous cells and they were able to remove them. So I think it's kind of like we really have to just, like, take our, I guess it's slightly a bit about, not in a critical way, but it is slightly about ego, mm-hmm, you know, especially if we've been undervalued and downplayed. You know, I never certainly lived a life when anybody told me I was special or pretty or good. So when we don't have that, like, firm ground to stand on, I guess it is really empowering to have this, you know, part of my life where I'm like, no, I'm, you know, it doesn't matter what I think. What I say is gonna be the thing. So, so yeah, it's like you kind of get to take yourself out of the equation.
So it's so interesting because, you know, when you do this type of work, this type of healing work, whether it, you know, you're always doing a reading, whether it's energy work, because you're reading the body, you're reading the body's energy and all the stories that are in there, and you're also doing energy work when you're reading cards, because it's everything is energy. So it's really fascinating that, you know, your friend or coworker was mad at you that whole time. Cause it's like, don't ask the question, like, don't go get a reading if you are afraid of what you might get, you know? And it's, but I read, I also do Akashic record readings, and in the invocation, whether it's for my, when I open my own records or I am giving someone else a reading, it's, I am ready. What I say is, I am ready for whatever is for me now.
Nice.
You know? And it's just like, and I know that whatever is coming, I may not like to hear, I may not like it, what they're saying, but that's what's coming. And it's up to you to do what, you know, what you need to do with that information. Take it, leave it, whatever. That's what you asked for. You know, you asked for it. In this case, you asked for it. You paid the money, came to the reading. You're like, I didn't like. So it's. I've had, like, kind of snobby spiritual friends come to you know, our town, and they would go somewhere to get a reading, and, you know, just so judgmental. And I was like, yeah, you know, I don't think they're power. You know, they're judging, like, how powerful, how strong they're intuitive. And I was just like, yeah, this says more about you.
Yeah.
Than the other person, you know, like, oh, I didn't like the, and not everyone's for you. And that always gives me comfort, you know, because I was like, I don't have, you know, even though I want everyone to like me and love me, not everyone has to, not everyone, you know, is going to resonate with you. And I don't resonate with others either. So,
yeah.
And then the other thing about getting out of the way, absolutely. Like, you know, people like to throw a lot of gratitude at you and it makes me uncomfortable, you know, and, you know, like, oh my God, you changed my life. I was like, well, no, I just got out of the way so that the energy, so that spirit could come through and give you what you needed, you know? And so that part of it, that part of my ego, I'm good. Like, I know it's not me doing it. I know that for a fact. It's like, I'm a conduit. I just hold the space and for the energies to do what they need to do. And they just tell me what to do. But just going back to, you know, it just took such a long time for me in particular to really trust the information. Like, I don't, because you don't know what it means. I don't know what it means. I don't know this person.
Oh, I love those moments.
Yeah.
Where I'm like looking at a card and I'm like, do you have some kind of association with Star Trek? You know, like, I love the weird shit. Other languages come up for me and I'm like, I don't speak this language, but I'm getting this word. Like, yeah, because it's trust, because you're going to sound crazy. Like, the information is not for you, so you're not necessarily going to understand it.
So when she said, when you're saying the information, that means it's not for the reader. It's not for the person doing the...
Correct. Although, you know, some readers will say when you're reading someone else, you're always reading yourself.
True. That's true too.
But, and I, you know, I certainly have the experience that a lot of people come to me who can benefit from my life experience as well. They're much happier if I can pick up a card and say, this card is telling you this, even though I know, like, I'm speaking about, like, I went through this. You know, they're wanting to trust something beyond, you know? And also I think people just, it's a big leap to, like, even if you're used to it, you know, even if I've had people who've come for readings for the longest time, our minds are small. So it's like, you know, I have to sometimes pull on them, like, no, this is really, I'm really getting this, or I'm really seeing this, or there's this particular person that, no, we're talking about, and it'll hit them, you know, later. So, yeah, it's true. You just have to kind of, I just enjoy the ride so much, you know, and I think, honestly, when I was doing, again, I think the modality is really suited to the practitioner, because when I was doing like Reiki work, one, that was a big energy exchange for me. And I felt way more pressure to, like, change someone's life that way. You know, more pressure for them to, like, quote unquote, feel something.
I understand.
You
know? Yeah, I totally understand that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, it just wasn't the jam for me. Like, it was, that is such a phrase I never use. But, like, that's just like, it just wasn't the right fit, you know? But there's something about the cards that, like, they feel like a part of me, you know, they feel very, very connected to me. I love that we're talking about, like, trust, because it is like this trust relationship, so that I don't have to question them either. Like, they're, like, showing up and being like, it's time to trust us. Let's do this thing. So, yeah, it's an interesting relationship.
Because even when you're doing a reading, I mean, there's an energy exchange happening between you and the person, especially in that space. It happens every day when we talk to people. There's an energy exchange happening. Your energetic fields or auras are talking to each other, too. How have your boundaries been for you?
A great question. Particularly because a lot of energy healers talk about, like, psychic defense and all this kind of BS, right? So I learned a big lesson on boundaries where I was doing readings and, and you're going to ask me about my street fair readings, my favorite story. So I was doing readings at one of the locations I did readings at, and a client came in with a stomach ache. And by the time he left, I had the stomach ache. And that's when I was like, I have to be more attentive to this, because it is an exchange, because because of the way I read, like, I'm looking at cards, but I'm hearing information. I'm hearing whatever dead people need to talk to you. And I'm feeling what's going on in you. And I have to dive into you to know if it's resonating, you know, because you might not know it's resonating. You know, you might not be giving me those nods or uh-huhs or yada, but, like, if I'm sure it's resonating, I keep going. So, yeah, there's always this connection. So there are a couple. And the other way I had a problem with boundaries when I started reading, like, way more all the time, full time, when I really took it on as my profession, I couldn't stop. So, like, I'd be out with my friends, and I'm really, I'm very sensitive to photographs. So somebody showed me a photograph and I just started, like, spewing psychic information, which they had not asked for. So then I was like, okay, I've got to set some boundaries. And so I set a boundary for myself that I only did psychic work in my office, like, in that room.
Right.
And that was just, like, you know, telling everybody, don't time and talk a place. To me.
Yep. Yeah. Everyone meaning the energy.
All the energy is talking to me and anybody else, you know, like who maybe wants to get a little free advice, you know. Right. So it's like, that's a boundary too. Also, like, is there a financial exchange? Like, is there something that feels like, you know, and getting used to that, I think, is a big confidence issue of like, when you're given this wonderful gift, why not share it with the world for free? But, you know, it's a physical and emotional and mental cost to us. So we need to be replenished. And the way we do that in our culture is through money.
Right.
So those are the things I really, yeah, I had to really learn about boundaries. And so for me, I don't have like psychic defenses or whatever, because to me, being open is how I live. And that's my defense, you know, is that like, I'm aware of everything. And, but managing two things, one is like what it's like to wander around in the world like that. Like, you know, there was a spirit that used to come talk to me at the place we used to live. Mm-hmm. And oh. I didn't, yeah, it was so intense. He would come in the middle of the night, and it took me a really long time to be like, you know, because I started to get really freaked out. Like, I just feel its energy. And I finally just buried him. I had a funeral for him in the backyard. And I had to talk to him because, yeah, like a lot of people, like a lot of ghosts get kind of stuck on the planet and they don't know what to do. But they could, then they see me and they're like, that girl can see me. So then they come try to talk to me, and he would kind of shake the bed. So it was a long, so you have to kind of, oh yeah, I've had to send a lot of dead people on their way, a lot. So all of that, it's like, okay, I live in the world that way. And then also I had to get used to the fact that people could sense that I had a different sense, that I could see into them. And that, you know, that draws people who have needs and have need attention and want to be seen. And so I had to learn to set personal boundaries with like, you know, that's not what I'm here in your life for. Like, it needs to be an equal exchange.
Mm-hmm. So did he live where you lived, or was he just somebody that was in the area, was like, oh, beacon.
Yeah, I don't know where he came from.
Oh my God. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, and he didn't really go. He stuck around. He stays kind of still with me, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And that was just, you know, that was just him. But, you know, and that helped me really actually make some sense out of some of the things I knew as a child. Like, there was this one energy I always felt behind this one chair. I used to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night as a kid and like run back to my bed. Like, so, you know, it's not all glamour and fun. Like, it's, right? Sometimes it's pretty intense, and there's some spirits, man. Yeah.
Yeah,
not everybody is a happy person, dead or alive.
I was just talking about this because in my last previous episode of my solo cast, because I, when I was a kid, I think I got this word from Ghostbusters, because I was like, how did I know that word? I mean, maybe I was just a smart kid. But I want, so from the time I was in the third grade and up until I was in, yeah, I changed it when I was in eighth grade. I wanted to be a parapsychologist. I grew up watching The Exorcist, and I I found it fascinating as a very young girl. And then when I was in third grade, I read my first ghost story, The Ghost of Windy Hill. And I was like, I want to be a parapsychologist. And I remember in middle school, I looked up like, okay, how do I do this? And you had to be, I was like, oh, you have to get a PhD. And I grew up in a college town. So there's a big university and there was a community college. And I remember at the community college, they had classes there. And I just thought, oh God, I can't wait till, you know, I'm old enough, I can take those classes. But, you know, being the 11, 12, you know, 13 year old girl, you know, you get into witchcraft and the dark side of it, and, you know, reading about Satanism and stuff like that. And so that scared the shit out of me. And we had carpet growing up, and you know how the air conditioner like makes these like crunching sounds sometimes, yeah. like someone's walking on carpet. So sometimes
Sharmila.
I know, sometimes at night I would hear, and I was just like, you know, sometimes I just chalked it off like, nah. And then the fear would come in, and it was like something. I was like, oh my God, they're going to come and get me. And I was just like, okay, I don't want to see any more ghosts. It's like, I wanted to see a ghost, but I didn't want it. And I felt that built my boundary to any type of mediumship. And you know, and just growing up watching all these different movies. And so I have some friends who are just, who don't do mediumship, but they have it. And they're just like, you know, I have one friend, she puts them in a waiting room. She built a waiting room for them. Like, you can go there. But because they were talking to her when she was sleeping. And I was like, fuck that. I was like, don't do that to me. No. And I'm still kind of like that. And so I have this interesting, like, normally I don't dream about people that have passed on. It just doesn't happen. And two nights in a row, one night it was Anthony Bourdain. The next night, my grandmother, who died in 1996. And she only came to me once. She came to me like a couple weeks after she passed away. I could feel her. I was dreaming. I could feel her. I was grieving, and I could feel that grief in her. I felt like she was hugging me, like she was laying on top of me, because I could feel this pressure on my chest. And that was like, okay, I know that's you, Hazarma. That's her name, Hazarma. That's what we called her. I was like, I know that's you. It's kind of freaking me out, but I miss you, and I'll allow this.
Wow.
But for other people, you know, I mean, you're just like so nonchalant about it. Like, yeah, this is something I deal with. For me, I'm like, nah, those walls are up.
Yeah. Well, it's just like you said, when you were young, it was magical. It seemed so cool. And then you got like educated to think it was wrong.
Yeah. Well, I just scared myself. I don't know if it was wrong, but I just was. It was
or scary.
Scary. It was scared.
Well, Satan, you know, that's scary. That's meant to scare people purposefully, you know, right. That concept. You reminded me of something I always joke. So I was raised, I was supposed to be a scientist. Like, I was the smarty pants, and I was supposed to be I was very creative, so inventor and scientist. And I had a little makeshift lab in this little room in our bottom of our house, where I would combine stuff. And I was also really into Shakespeare. And so I had this quote above my lab that was with a big cauldron, and it said, double, toil and trouble. Yeah. And I was like really into them. And I was like, because I thought they were kind of like the scientists, you know. And then as I grew older, I was like, oh, I didn't want to be a scientist. I wanted to be a witch.
Yeah. They were oracles. Yeah. Oracles and what? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh, right. Yeah. But that's not an acceptable career path. So,
not these. Actually, these days, if you go on Insta,
I know now it is. It's true.
Which is great. I'm just like, yes, bring more of this wonderful energy of working with the earth and plants. And
And ritual. And yeah, it's so true.
Honoring the seasons. Yeah.
Can I tell you the story about my grandmother dying?
Oh, yeah.
So this family that like always kind of doubted my, you know, sense of anything, right? So I at some point I was living in LA, and I had this dream that my grandmother was on this bus, and she was like, you have, like, I'm dying, you have to tell your father. And I was like, no, grandma, like, please don't make me do that. You know, and she's like, you have to tell your father. So like very gently wrote my dad an email like, hey, have you talked to grandma lately? You know, like, and he was like, no, I mean, I think she's fine. He kind of like blew it off. She was 92. And, you know, so her time was, we knew it was coming at some point. And then I was like, you know what? You really need to talk to grandma. And I finally was like, Dad, I had a dream that grandma was on this bus. And I didn't say, and she told me to call you and say she was dying. I said, you know, and it's been said that, you know, this might be a metaphor for death, you know. And so, yeah, 3 days later, my dad wrote me back like, your grandma died. She was on that bus.
Oh.
Isn't that amazing?
I know. Wow.
It was like chills.
Yeah.
And I think that's what did it to, like, you know, that's when my dad stopped. Not that he ever really questioned me, but that's when he kind of became a believer, you know, like, oh, that the kids got the gift.
You know? I mean, he was testing you. I guess that's what he was doing, like with this psychometry, you know?
I know.
Like, what was that about? It's just something he's like,
oh. I don't know. I've never talked. I should ask him about that, actually. We've never talked about it since. It was just kind of this strange. And it could have been related to, you know, my intelligence, because that was the focus on my family, was basically on my IQ. So maybe he thought that was part of it. Mm. I don't know. My family is so complicated. That's like, I don't even. So.
Well, any parting words of wisdom for budding psychic tarot readers out there?
Yeah, I think if there's one thing that's really important for tarot card readers is, like, I don't know, kind of get your head out of the books, get your head out of, like, this sense that a card has a meaning. Mm. And I'm not saying throw caution to the wind, and I'm completely, you know, the cards they are very specific, you know, in their, and how they are organized and what they are trying to tell. And yes, all the cards have a certain particular meaning. But I guess what I'm trying to say is I find this generation extremely literal. And I feel like we need and literal. And I find not just this generation of people, but the zeitgeist we're living in right now. It's so literal. And to me, that's like imagination is so essential to our survival and to our nervous system and to so many very basic things. So, you know, when I teach people how to read cards, I teach them to use their imagination, to use the images that are coming to them. When they look at a card, something pops into their head, read the thing that pops into their head, you know, because that's, it's the cards trying to speak to you in your mental language, you know. So it's going to show you something that you understand so that you can then translate it out to the person. And all of that relies on us being open to anything happening, you know? Yes. And so if we're so literal and we're like, this means this and this means that, then we're never going to have that experience, which is what allows us to trust ourselves, right? Is when we can be so open and imaginative and I mean, isn't that what following your dreams are? It's like imagining something and then trying to make it real. Like, and if you can't do that, like if all we can do is recreate what's already been dictated to us, like we're going to stay very stuck. So that's what I would say is like play and explore. I would say that also very practically, you know, make your own layouts. Like I create layouts for every different client. We do that together. And so that we're not, so there's something beautiful about tradition. I would never eschew tradition, but also like let the cards talk to you the way they want to talk to you. You wouldn't have a conversation with somebody else that was exactly the conversation you had with the last person, right? So you have to be open. So I think that would be the biggest thing, especially. And the other thing, oh, you and I were talking about this the other day, like the other thing I would say to people is like, not everybody needs to make this their job.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Like if you find you have a gift or interest, like we used to be a community, you could be the reader for your family, for your friends, for your community. You could have that localized. You don't have to, you know, declare yourself and, you know, get your URL. Like right. you can just, because that's really what we need is to have, you know, it used to be like every community had its local healer and its local herbalist and its local oracle, like you said. And like, you know, and then, and that was, they trust, you know, they trusted that. So if we can localize more, then we actually end up with more people with these gifts and more places that they can use them. And then we don't have to compete and be, you know, better than anybody. You just right. do your thing with your people.
Right. Exactly. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing all that. And such wise words, especially for particularly with tarot readers, budding tarot readers. But I think that applies to anybody that's interested in learning about healing or more about that. So thank you. Thank you so much for that. And let me tell everyone how they can get in touch with you. So Vivid Life Tarot or tarot.com and on Instagram at Vivid Life Tarot. And I will put all that in the show notes as well.
Yeah. And if you mention the Confident Healer podcast, I'm going to give people a discount.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's very generous. Oh, so, yeah, please reach out to her through her website and on Instagram if you're interested and mention the Confident Healer for a little bit of a discount.
The love.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing all your wisdom and some of your history. And let's give her a big, warm hug. Goodbye.
Mm. Oh, thank you so much. This was so much fun. You know, and I can talk about this forever. So
I know.
This
is great. We're good. I know. I was like, I'm supposed to make this 30 minutes. I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I'll stick to that, but we'll see. We'll see how. Again, thank you so much. And my name is Sharmila Mali. This is The Confident Healer, and we will see you next time. Bye. Thank you for listening. Please go to www.theconfidenthealer.net. This is the best place to listen to the podcast, and it's also where you can go and find the guest info in the show notes. Remember, there are three important actions to take to help grow the show. Invite others to listen. Leave a review if you learned something new or if you just learned something, and by leaving a donation. You can find the links on theconfidenthealer.net. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.